From the Squamish Chief.
This is the Squamish Sound.
And I'm Stephen Chua. This is the 30th episode of our weekly podcast.
You'll hear the story behind the story as we take you into the newsroom. We'll talk about what did and didn't get into the newspaper this week.
On the show today, In Memoriam, Squamish remembers local skier Michaela Martin. Friends and family share their memories. And protesting season is underway. What Taking to the Streets says about how people will vote in the upcoming federal election. Michaela Martin was regarded by many in town as a star skier. There was much talk of her becoming a 2022 Olympian. Sadly, she died last week in a mountain biking accident. Today, we'll be bringing you conversations we've had with her friends and family. They all had memories to share. While it was clear she was an exceptional athlete, it was also clear she had a warm personality that left a positive impression on many. This is a really difficult story, mm-hmm. I guess, to work on. There was a lot to this person, and she left a very, very big mark on Squamish, despite being relatively...
Yeah, pretty young.
Quite young, like at 22 years old. She's accomplished so, so much.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of this, we figured a good way to just kind of remember her would be to contact people who had a lot of memories to share. And to that end, we reached out to her parents, mm-hmm. James and Christine Martin. And while she was definitely... A star athlete, there was also a very human side to her, and they shared some of those memories that they had.
Even when she was young, she would take these silks and put them down on the floor, and we'd play classical music, and she'd take these silks and she'd dance all over the living room. Like, she just loved to kind of express herself, and just and then she, as she grew older, it's just all these driven. I don't know.
She had, one of the things that I found most fascinating about her was she had a really interesting mix of things that she loved. She had a strong passion for whatever she was doing, but she played the violin, and she loved playing the violin, and she loved putting on little plays around the house and telling us stories, making up stories, and sort
little
of
puppet shows
putting
too.
It on little puppet shows. And, she built a bridge in our backyard like a little engineer. Mm. She grabbed all kinds of wood, scrap wood that I had around, and all of a sudden she's building a bridge in our backyard over a pretend stream. She had some silks laid down that were the water, and she built this 10-foot long, 3-foot high bridge.
Wow.
And it was just amazing. And things like that out of her, like, her wheelhouse was sports. It was mountain biking, skiing, soccer, climbing, hiking, but she also was loved violin music. She was teaching herself the guitar.
Good artist. Good.
She was good at drawing. She was baking, sewing, knitting. She knitted her friends' hats. Just a really neat, all-around, beautiful human being. It was a pleasure to have the time that we did with her. They were 22 amazing years.
And not only that, her aunt Julie Martin was in town. She flew over to be with the family, and she also had some really, really warm memories of the time that they had together as well.
So she was 15, 13 maybe. Anyway, she was learning how to unicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was her big thing. Like, I'm sure you've heard from a lot of other people that when Michaela decided she was going to learn to do something, she just did.
Mm.
And she wanted to know everything. And that was what she was doing then. And she was so proud to show off her unicycling. And she had just been learning how to go down hills as opposed to just on the flat. Oh. And her huge smiles. And she was so proud to be able to go, to go down the hill and turn around and come back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing that girl didn't want to learn.
So, as many people know, Michaela was a very, very talented skier.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't always like that. Not like she was like that for most of her life. But I mean, there was, like, everyone does have to get their start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, her parents told us that at the age of, it's like a very young age, maybe around 2 or so, they kind of put her on a pair of skis, saw how that went. Both James and Christine are, like, avid skiing enthusiasts. So, mm-hmm. they just wanted to get their love and share it with their kids. And Michaela initially was, like, she had some good times on it, but there was a little bit of push and pull because, you know, the parents always have that sort of conundrum of, you know, you want your kid to get into something, but you want it to be them mm-hmm. who wants it.
It has to be something that they're interested in on their own as well.
Exactly. So there was, for the first few years, they pushed a little bit, but then they kind of pulled back when they saw that she wasn't quite as enthusiastic as she might have had to be if she wanted to take it really seriously. Mm-hmm. But there's this one really nice instance that they shared with us, and that's where she was with her sister, Chandra, who at the time was having a little bit of difficulty getting on the slopes. And she was able to, I guess, change that a little bit, at least in this one case.
It was interesting. She actually taught her sister to ski because her younger sister wasn't real keen on it either. And we took her up a few times and tried teaching her, and she wasn't really interested. And then one afternoon, Michaela said, let me take her. We were up there already. And so she went up to the magic chair, the top of the magic chair with Chandra and her sister. And sure enough, in 15 minutes, Chandra was skiing down the magic chair with Michaela.
Huh. And
that was something that we weren't able to accomplish. It was a really amazing bond between those two girls right from a very early age.
And a little bit after that, there was a turning point that mm-hmm. James and Christine shared with us. And that had a lot to do with meeting a former Olympian who is in town giving a talk. And basically, long story short, Michaela hit it off with that person. And since then, she's developed a very, very serious passion for skiing. And this is how it all began.
It was after the Turin Olympics. I was a member of the Rotary Club here in Squamish. And one of the other members, Denise Ritberg, was the president of or the manager of the RBC Bank here. And they had the RBC Olympians program. And a local mogul skier, Christy Richards, was one of the RBC Olympians, and she had just come back from Torino, and Denise Ritberg brought her into the Rotary Club to come and speak to the Rotarians about her experiences at the Olympics. And so I knew this was coming, and I invited Michaela and Chandra to come and hear this inspiring female Olympian to talk to the Rotary Club. And Chandra decided she didn't want to come, but Michaela came. Michaela came with me, and we sat her right beside Christy, and Christy just struck up a conversation with her, and just they hit it off. And Michaela was just so in awe with Christy. They laughed and joked and had a wonderful time at lunch. And then Christy got up and gave her presentation and did an outstanding job. And then came and sat down beside Michaela again. And Michaela, you could just see her beaming. She was just so so inspired by Christy. And so she went. I took her back to school that afternoon. And then a few days later, I was driving her. I can't remember exactly where, maybe to school, but she was in the back seat. And she says to me, Dad, I know what I want to be when I grow up. I said, oh, what's that, Michaela? She says, I want to be a ski racer. Oh, no.
An Olympian.
I want to be an Olympian.
She didn't know what sport yet.
She said, I want to be an Olympian. And I said, oh, yeah. Do you want to be a mogul skier like Christy? And she says, no, I think I want to be a ski racer. And I said, well, we should probably get you into some ski lessons then, shouldn't we? She says, yeah, let's get into some ski lessons. And so we signed her up for ski lessons then. And what was really cool about this was her drive.
And since then, she's been quite devoted to it. We spoke with one of her former coaches, Rob Boyd, with the Whistler Mountain Ski Club, and he had this to share with us.
Her drive was always there. Like I mentioned earlier, from being the first on the hill in the morning with that big smile, okay, what are we doing today? What are we doing today? Can I go for a couple more runs? Always keen to, you know, to push it, to try and squeeze one more run in. And sometimes, again, we'd have to pull her back, you know, in the morning, sure, go for it. But at the end of the day, I just want to get one more run in. No, 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 it's ruddy, it's dangerous, but calm down, go back to the basics and work on some of those things that I just mentioned earlier. And she reluctantly would do that. I know that she stood on the podium a few times and feeling proud and giving a good little, a fist pump, if you will. Yeah, okay, she got there. It's really neat to see her, you know, progress.
But while she was obviously a very hard worker, very determined. She also was a very colorful personality. And we had one of her friends, Alex Cairns, that many people in town know as a Paralympian, very accomplished. He had a lot of color to share about his experiences with her as well. And it was like, at times, like stuff that would really make him crack up.
One day she was like, "Oh, hey, Alex, can you teach me how to kayak?" And I was like, it's always a bit of a scary request, especially for a guy who's just learning a sport. And kind of like, all right, well, she's a wicked athlete, so yeah, sure, come on. And we went up to the Mamquam River, and we finished kind of the biggest part of the rapids, and kind of figured, all right, we're good. So I kind of went ahead of her, only by a few feet, sort of thing. And I just hear this little voice from behind me. And she just says, hey, Alex, there's a little bit of water in my kayak." And I turn around, and this kid is chest deep in the Mamquam River with her boat just fully gone somewhere under her. Paddle sticking out of the water going, "I'm going to need help."
Oh, my gosh.
So it was just those sort of chaotic things all the time. Like, always safe enough, but always pushing to the point of, like, what the heck is going on? Yeah, such a good kid. Just, she was always that friend who checked in, you know, like, check in for no reason.
Michaela was also an avid mountain biker. Mm-hmm. She rode with Team Squamish, which is one of the elite organizations in town. They've produced a lot of champions. A lot of people will know that a lot of athletes like Miranda Miller and Reese Verner have come from that organization. And Reese Verner was actually on hand to just briefly speak about his time that he had known her. And here's what he had to say.
So whenever she came on rides or came to training and stuff, she would, she just loved to push herself and try and, like, keep up with all us guys and stuff. And, yeah, just, like, a awesome person to have to train with and, like, spend time with. There was a pretty, like, core group of us that kind of most of us ended up, like, being pretty successful with sport. But I would say Michaela for sure is kind of was the pinnacle of that. Like, she's probably going to go to the Olympics in like 2 years, and she's always smiling and always like pretty excited about something, and that's like it's a really good quality to have, like, especially in sport. Like, there's lots of adversity and stuff, and I don't think I've ever seen Michaela without a smile on her face. So that was something I'll definitely always remember.
There was also another aspect to that. And while she really enjoyed her time with Team Squamish, her parents said that it also kind of made her acutely aware of how women in sport, there can be extra barriers. Because while she loved it, she also did feel a little bit isolated at times. Everyone there was great, but there still is definitely a reality that women face of just kind of sometimes being isolated in sport. And she felt that.
In particular, when she was riding with Team Squamish, she was often the only girl on the team. And although she loved riding with the boys, she just found it hard not having other females around to support her and have that sort of female camaraderie. And as much as she loved the boys, she still felt a little bit alone on the team.
And as a result, she expressed to her parents that she wanted to do things to help kind of bring more women into sport, especially with respect to mountain biking and skiing and the sports that she loved. So there's one occasion that the parents shared with us where that kind of really stood out, and that was one of the most recent encounters that they had.
She said, "You know, I think women are being held back by culture, our culture, that women could do more in athletic areas than they currently are. Yes, men have our stronger bodies, but when it comes to skill, there's no reason that women can't have as much skill, if not more than men." And she believed that it was culture that was partly holding women back, and she wanted to transform that. So that's one of her big visions. It's like, we're going to shift culture and women.
And finally, the next thing, I guess, at this stage is that the parents, the family, they want to pay her legacy forward. Mm-hmm. She was, Michaela was very, very into coaching and mentoring and giving back. And they want to take that and spread it around. So they've started up a memorial fund, mm-hmm. which is intended to help. The specific details haven't been worked out yet, but generally speaking, they want to help out young women pursue their dreams in sport. And it doesn't have mm-hmm. to be necessarily an Olympian. It doesn't have to be a professional athlete, but someone who kind of embodies the spirit of Michaela, like the way that she was very warm, very enthusiastic, mm-hmm. very hardworking, really took her sport seriously, but also was able to kind of be a bit of a light to everyone around her.
Yeah, to support everyone else as well.
What really makes us feel happy and fulfilled is seeing people find something creative that they can do to express their appreciation for Michaela. And we don't want it to be directed towards us. We want it to be directed towards the rest of the world so that they're expressing something that Michaela inspired them in. And people are doing that, and we just love it, and we appreciate it so much. And so just please, everyone that you can, thank them for the support that they've shown to us and to Michaela. And it's been deeply, deeply appreciated. There's a lot of people out there that are hurting at this loss, and we feel their pain. But Michaela wouldn't want them to be sad. She'd want them to miss her and to love her, but she'd want them to be out living their lives and enjoying their lives to the fullest. So I know so many people miss her and are sad, and that's fine. Like, get over that. Like, deal with that, process that. But just look to her example of what she would want you to be doing, and she wouldn't want you to be sitting around the house crying. She'd want you to be out there doing something fun and being with your friends and loving your life and making the world a better place.
A celebration of life for Michaela Martin will take place at 2 p.m. on October 26th at the West Coast Railway Heritage Park. All are invited. If you've been reading the headlines, you've noticed that there have been a number of protests that have been happening.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's coincidental or intentional, but it also happens to be falling very close in line to the fact that we have a federal election coming up very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Keely has been to just
two
about
protests in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, she's,
so one a week.
Yeah, you've been to a fair amount. It's it's become kind of a recurring theme in your life.
Well,
I suppose.
I've been in Squamish since January,
yes.
And I've attended several protests and marches and demonstrations like that. We've had a few in the spring and in the summer. And this fall, we've had several as well. So the two prominent ones are, of course, the climate action strikes.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had three climate action strikes in Squamish this year alone.
Yeah.
One of them was in the last few weeks. And then another protest that people may have noticed on the weekend, last weekend, was a one where parents were forming a stroller brigade. And so they marched down Cleveland, and they stopped in Stan Clark Park and talked a bit about what they wanted to see for changes in daycare and childcare in Squamish.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not as global of an issue as climate change, but one that still affects a lot of Squamish families and can prevent people from going back to work if they can't find a spot for their child. And there were also some early childhood education or educators
mm-hmm.
who were present as well, saying that, you know, this is work that they want to do, but they can't afford to stay here.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of different issues surrounding that. But one of my friends mentioned that it seems like it's almost protest season. And I would say that that's probably true, because this is a way that people can take their voices and share what issues are impacting their lives. And they're doing it right before the election. So it's keeping these topics top of mind for other voters, perhaps, to shape how they feel about it. The childcare isn't quite a federal issue, however. Right. It is much more provincial. And one thing we were talking about in the office that's really interesting with these protests is most of these people who are involved, who are marching, who are demonstrating, who are speaking, are the people who are directly impacted. So for the climate strike, there were a lot of youth.
Yeah.
At this one, there was actually a lot of toddlers as well. They didn't have much to say, but their parents did. And one thing that we noticed, though, is that whenever there is an event like this in our society, is that political figures do make an appearance. Just because they're walking alongside you and maybe you don't recognize them at first doesn't mean that they're not still political figures, though, who also hold power.
Interesting.
Yes, they are citizens of our community.
Yeah.
But they are also in more of an official, authoritative position than the rest of us are.
Yeah.
So we were talking specifically about there was this photo of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau at a climate strike march.
Yes,
but the climate strike is protesting lack of action by the government, of which he is the leader. And so people pointed out, just talking about this photo and his presence there, that you're the one everyone's protesting, right? And that's not quite the case on our municipal level. That's not quite the case when, let's say, Karen Elliott, who was at this parent stroller brigade, they're not against... They're not protesting her directly or her government, but, you know, we are still able to say that these people do have a certain amount of influence. And it is noteworthy to pay attention to what they're saying at these protests and how, what action might follow from that. So she does say, and she had somebody read a letter that she'd written at the climate strike about, you know, write to the people who are involved on the federal level, right, to those people who've been elected, right? And then at this parent protest or rally, we'll call it, she had something similar to say. She said, you know, write to the people at the provincial level, write to the people who are candidates right now, see what they have to say, see if they can have any influence. But don't forget that you can write to Karen Elliott as well.
Okay, we're bringing it over to our editor's pick, where we bring in our editor, Jennifer Thuncher. She's here to tell us about her pick of the week.
Hey, so, Stephen.
What's going on, Jen?
I think we should probably talk a little bit more about the Michaela story that has impacted a lot of people and you and Keely talked about. All of these stories always impact us, right, of course. And definitely this one hit a lot of people in the community. Who knew her at 22, she certainly, as your story showed, touched a lot of lives. On a personal note, and I always hesitate to even say these things because I had, obviously nothing compared to many, many people in this community. But when we first did the story, it's a story in our for you and for all of the reporters in the room. It's just, don't get this wrong, right? So I didn't really think about the name. It wasn't until actually much later in the day I got a text from my son, Zach, and he was like, Mom, this is Michaela. And it was a friend. He's close to their sister, to Michaela's sister. And so then, it doesn't... Every story matters, but you kind of go, oh my gosh, that Michaela, you know, and so our, you know, as everybody knows in the community that knows that family, they're a lovely family, they're super involved, and definitely our hearts go out to them this Thanksgiving weekend, the first that they'll spend without their daughter. So thoughts to them and to everyone who's lost people this year. It hasn't been an easy year in Squamish. And then on a less serious note, it's newspaper week in Canada and actually in the States as well. So and time to sort of think about, with the election looming, what it would mean if we didn't have newspapers in the community. Some people may say, oh, not such a bad thing, right? But even if we weren't involved in papers, so not even including ours, it's time to think about what journalism means and what it would mean if we didn't have it sort of looking into things. So, happy Newspaper Week, Stephen.
Well, happy Newspaper Week to you, too.
Okay.
Thanks, Jen.
Ciao.
The Squamish Sound is brought to you by The Squamish Chief. The music for this episode was produced by Stephen Chua, cover photo by Clayton Matthews. Have a story tip? Give us a call at 604-892-9161. Send an email to news@squamishchief.com. You can read these stories and more online at squamishchief.com, the newspaper, and have the news delivered to your door every week.